going on, everybody? Antony here. Welcome back to Badum Biz. And here today we have a great, great episode because we're gonna have our. You guys have had it before, right? You've heard it. Two drummers sitting behind drum kits, drinking coffee, driving cars. You know how that thing goes. Anyway, you guys remember him, Tom DeVinco. He returns. What's up, Tom?
What's up, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Tom's got his like setup. He's using a snare, a floor tom, and a kick. But he's got his cymbals up, man. He's got four nice cymbals up. And we were just nerding out about them before we started.
Oh, yeah. I nerd so bad about cymbals. I just got a new ride cymbal, and I am freaking out about it.
Go ahead. Talk about it. It's a Paiste, right?
It's a Paiste Giant Beat. And what's cool about it is it doesn't say what it is.
Okay.
Like, on the cymbal itself,
sure,
it doesn't say crash or ride. Like, it doesn't say anything. It just says Paiste Giant Beat, right?
And you could do both with it, and it sounds both sound really good.
Yeah, and I've been using it as a ride, and it's very similar. Like, all right, we're just getting into it right away.
Right.
So it reminds me of kind of like Zildjian A stuff, kind of like the old A stuff.
Old A stuff, yeah.
But a little, it's like a blend between that and the Corot. Stuff for old K.
Okay.
Like, it's like right in the middle.
Okay.
And I've always done this thing where I season my cymbals.
Okay. And what is that? What does that mean? Well, I know what you're talking about, but.
Yeah. So if you do like 1 cup of vinegar.
Okay.
Like white vinegar. And I think with that you do like 2 or 3 tablespoons of salt.
Okay.
Let that kind of dissolve into like a thing, and you kind of paint it onto the cymbal. Some cymbals will have, especially Paiste does it too, I think they might spray it.
Okay.
With a lacquer or something, so you might need to use, depending on the company, like a emery cloth, mm-hmm. or what's that other thing called? Like the that little like a Brillo pad.
Sure,
or something.
Sure, yeah.
So to kind of open up like the finish on the cymbal, and you could tell when you like brush on this liquid mixture that you make, right?
Yeah.
You put it on and it just kind of beads off.
Okay,
it's like it's no good. So then you might have to do that. If you brush it on and it kind of sits nice, you see it like kind of like you're painting,
mm-hmm.
then you let it sit and you could speed it up by mm-hmm. using like a hair dryer.
Okay.
Or a space heater.
Sure.
And it dries out and it starts to go green, almost like an old penny.
Okay.
Right, because copper is in cymbals, right? So it starts to like patina, mm-hmm. and then you repeat, or you could use then after that shoe polish.
Okay.
And then repeat with like this solution, so it like starts to, because the metal in the cymbal has they have pores. Like metal has pores to it, so you're filling.
Uh-oh, are we going to be robots one day?
Yeah. you're filling the pores with dirt, basically. So you're mimicking, like, 15 years of age on a piece of metal in, like, a week.
Gotcha, okay.
Kind of thing. And this is the first. Anyway, the longest story ever.
No, I mean, it's interesting because I'm thinking, like, yeah, I guess that does do that, and I guess that would get the sound that we want.
100%, yeah. It's like, that's why like old cymbals sound better than new cymbals.
Because you
want to
get into
cymbals.
The lathe.
When people clean their cymbals, I fucking shit in my pants, and I'm so upset about it. But this is the first cymbal that, like, I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm going to let it grow up by itself. I'm not going to do anything to it. Because just touching it, like this or whatever, like the oils in my hands are slowly going to build.
Absolutely.
The same idea.
Yeah.
And that's why you see certain like super old cymbals, like around the outside, it gets that green on the bottom. It's from grabbing it like
uh-huh.
this and your sweat on your hands. So yeah, I got this boy and I'm going to let it, I'm going to be a good parent and let it become who it wants to be.
I mean, there is that rule, dude, that's just like, You get something new, snare drum, tom, kick, cymbals especially. If it sounds good, right when, like, right there.
It doesn't sound perfect yet. It just needs to grow up. And I'm gonna.
Dude, if I played that on a gig, like, it just, oh, this is here, I would be happy. I'd be so happy.
Oh, it's a killer, yeah.
So good, man.
But that's where the tape comes in. Eventually, I might not have to have any tape on it. It's like, what's that guy's name? Tom, shit, what's his name? Oh, damn. Do you know this drummer, Tom? He's a jazz guy.
Tom.
He's older, like 50-something. Tom.
Tom.
Son of a B. What the hell is his name? I love him. He's amazing. His wife is a saxophone player in his band.
Why can't I think?
He's such a cool drummer. Tom. Yeah. Something. He's got, like, his left side cymbal. He plays like a, it's a K.
Okay.
From the, like, God knows when, 30s, 40s, something like that.
Oh, yes, he's got one of those ride. Like those
Istanbul made in Istanbul, like old school K, like totally hand hammered, beautiful cymbal, right? And his left side is also a 20, and it's amazing.
Wow.
And one day I'm like, what the fuck is up with that cymbal? It turns out it was one of these. But it's from the 70s.
Oh, wow.
So it aged so well.
Wow. Yeah.
And just got dirty and, like, all this stuff. I'm like, why does this cymbal sound so goddamn good? Like, what the fuck?
You know, I mean, there is a thing to it, if you think about it, right? Like, that's a person. It's like, when it's a 30-something, it's like a person. Mm-hmm. So it has a soul. You know, it has a character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and... if you play it nicely, if you allow it to be that character,
mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's where all that ride technique comes in. That's where all those...
Oh, for sure.
Like somebody, and the first person I think of, modern day guy, is Brian Blade.
Yeah, well, he's got a... What is he? I think he plays a... He has a Spicciacchino? What's his name? Robert Spicciacchino?
Oh, I don't know.
You know this?
No.
You don't know this guy?
No.
Oh, he died.
And you're not laughing it's about terrible. That he died.
No, I'm just laughing because I'm an idiot. Robert Spicciacchino or whatever. I don't know how to say his name properly. He's an Italian guy. And he was one of the first guys with UFIP, actually.
Okay.
And then he goes, oh, I want to leave. I want to go this direction with the cymbals. And UFIP, or I like to call it UFIP. Because it's funny.
UFIP, okay. And,
but it's like UFIP stands for something fabricatory, da da da. Like it's like I don't know, whatever. Anyway, and they're like, nah, like we want to do this whole thing where it's like more process, and they started doing this lathe, well, not lathe stuff, but I think I might have talked about this on the last one where they pour the liquid into a thing that spins the molten metal and then shapes the cymbal. And he's like, no, I'm all about hand hammering. So he left UFIP and started just making his own cymbals by himself.
Oh, wow.
And his stuff is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
The stuff that he made. There's a couple really cool documentaries on YouTube about him. And he said, like, oh, yeah, like, I'll hammer a cymbal and I'd go home and I'd put it on the chair and I'd make dinner and I'd sit there and eat dinner and look at it and be like, what do you need from me?
That's awesome. Like, dude.
Robert Spicciacchino. Yeah. Spicciacchino. I don't know how to say it. He's like oh my God. Like he is just the best, like a total artist with making cymbals. And I think Brian Blade plays one of his rides.
Okay.
Yeah, they're super sought after because, like, he's the only one that made his cymbals. It's not like he had a whole factory and all this stuff in Italy, but it was like he didn't have anyone work for him.
Sure.
It was just him.
That's all. I mean, it's look, man, if you can be that good at making a product.
Oh, my God.
But not just a product, a thing that people use to express themselves on, like, a very, like, subtle level, meaning... And we said this before the podcast. We were talking about like somebody like a Vinnie Caliuta, right? But even somebody as good as what's that studio cat's name? I always forget his name when I think about him. It'll come to me. But he's a studio cat, and he's done all the recordings. And the guy sometimes will just, like, bring pots and pans, apparently, and spoons and silverware, and that would be on the record. You know? But anyway, so people like that, they're so good that you have to have a certain knowledge level to understand how good they are.
Mm.
So a guy like who you're talking about, you know, he makes the cymbal, the cymbals that somebody at that high level uses to express themselves at that high level. So it's just like this investment and passion in this drum world that and I didn't even know about this guy that you're talking about, right? But that's special immediately to me.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Immediately special,
yeah, yeah.
You know, and I want to meet the guy. Like, this is a guy that he died. Yeah, oh, that's right. You did say that at the beginning. Oh shit! So I got so excited.
Like this crazy fucking YouTube video where it's like these guys are they just go to his factory just to like meet him or some shit.
Okay.
And like he takes them and like shows them around and he's just kind of chilling. There's literally cymbals everywhere.
Wow.
And like he just that's what he does. He goes there and makes cymbals. He's got a kit,
yeah,
to test stuff out, and then he takes them onto this roof, and he's got this like vat of like it's like I don't know, it's like green like I don't know what the fuck. It's like this big ass thing. It's just like goo almost. And he's like, yeah, like I put the cymbals in here, and they come out better. I don't know what the fuck is in here. There's like dead animals and like rats and stuff in there. It's really disgusting. You don't want to put your hand in there. It's going to hurt you, but it helps the cymbals. And he just dumps them in there and then uses like a string and pulls them out. He's like, don't touch. It's very dangerous.
Dude, it's awesome. That's so awesome.
Yeah, it's the craziest so shit awesome, ever. Dude.
I mean, making drum shells is another thing when you actually think about.
I can't even imagine doing that.
Like,
I've done like bearing edges and stuff like that, and I've refinished inside of drums, but to make a shell,
it's wild. God. And by the way, there's like obviously there's more than one way to do it. I mean, I've seen on YouTube, I've seen plenty of videos, people taking just wedges. And then gluing those wedges
like a stave,
together.
Stave drum.
Yeah. But I've also seen the production of a solid piece of wood.
To bend that and stuff?
Yeah.
Put it in like a moisture.
Sonar actually has a great series on that.
Oh, really?
In their factory,
I need to watch that. Okay.
It's, man, and like, of course, it's like a guy who you're talking about. Some old guy explaining how he discovered how to do this.
Mm.
And then you watch him do it.
It's like Craviato, Johnny Craviato.
Yeah, that's one of those companies that everybody's trying
my
to get those drums,
scooping
right?
Scooping wood out of the inside of a solid shell like it's a bagel that has too much bread in it.
Yeah.
You know about this shit?
Yeah. It's crazy. Like,
if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you don't. You know what I mean by that?
Yes.
That's the most insane idea ever. Oh, my God.
It's insane. But then you got to think.
It's like, all right, give me $5,000 for one drum.
Exactly.
Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. I kind of say the
but it's
same.
It's worth it.
I kind of have the same feeling about that. What is it? A&F company. You know about that?
Oh yeah, yeah. Right? They're kind of cool. They're cool, but
don't,
it's just so
don't
expensive.
Get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. All you had to say to me was like thin. What was it? Is it stainless steel or something?
Yeah.
Thin ply, like a thin layer or ply or whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, carved shells. Of stainless steel. First of all, I already knew, like, okay, well, you have some crazy inventive way of cutting metal, number one, and then shaping it. So number one, I remember going like, this is going to sound great, but you're going to pay a few thousand dollars. And then, that's right. So then when they started making their whole lineup of stuff, I remember going, this is all cool, right? But I'll never play those.
Mm.
And I gotta say, not even if I had the money, I would probably never play those because, let's be honest. I mean, I think cymbals are a little different. I think cymbals a little bit different in this, in my like sort of my belief in this. But do you really want to have the best sounding drums, or do you want to have drums that have a little character and you actually need to maybe learn to make them sound good? Do you know what I'm saying?
Great great argument.
So that's all. That's just my take on that. Because the other thing is, we're bashing these things.
I have my. All right. So okay. Whoa. Yeah. It depends. I think it just depends on your approach and your personality and what you want to do.
Sure.
Right. I mean, my favorite kit to play, I mean, like I was saying earlier before we started, I have the Sonar Phonic kit, and it's the greatest drum set I've ever played in my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I love it to death.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's really fucking heavy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work to lug around.
Yep.
I use it on most records I do, but I have a Gretsch Catalina kit.
Yep.
And I put a lot of work into it myself.
Sure.
Yeah. I finished the inside of the shells.
Oh, you did that. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I put, like, okay, so it's a secret. Don't tell anybody. Gretchen's going to be mad about this.
It's okay.
So, like, the inside, like the silver sealer, yep. Secret sauce,
mm-hmm.
It's...
You could just say you figured out what it is. You don't even have
to
say what it is.
I know what it is. So I sanded down the inside of my kits, and I finished it with that.
Okay. What is that supposed to do again?
It's gray radiator paint.
Okay.
You know, like you see radiators yes. and they're gray? It's yeah. the same fucking thing.
But what is it supposed to do?
Well, it's got metal in the paint.
Okay.
So it adds to the reflection.
Okay.
Of sound inside the drum. The reason they started doing it was because early Gretsch drums don't have that.
Okay.
But I think it was World War II, the beginning of World War II or end of World War I, something like that. They started using all the good wood for ships.
Oh, ship that's decks. Right. Okay.
And
sure.
they were like, I think this was right around the time where Gretsch was like, they started out making violins.
Okay.
Right? And they started making drums, da-da-da, and they're like, oh, well, like, the wood looks like shit on the inside. Like, mm-hmm. what do we do about it? So they started painting the inside to hide the wood not, like, being, like, tip-top wood.
Smart.
And then they realized, oh, this actually makes it sound damn good.
Yeah.
Because it has a reflectivity inside of the drum.
Sure.
If that's a word, reflectivity.
Now it is.
And now it's, like, a Gretsch thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I did that on the inside of the drums. Yeah. I refinished the inside, like, all of the bearing edges. It's, like, an 18 by 14 that I play, but I cut it down a quarter inch on both sides.
Oh, wow.
So it's an 18 by 13, and I made both bearing edges a baseball bat edge, which is rounded over
okay.
completely.
Okay.
So I'll stretch the shit out of the heads and then just tune it hella low. So there's a lot okay. of head contact, so I could tune it low and get like a goom out of like a tiny little drum.
Okay.
Because I like playing 18s, and sure. if I tune it up, it's still like, but it's like not like a ding, like it's
yeah,
not a
I know
long
you're talking about.
Tone because yep. there's a lot of head contact.
Yep.
And I put I bought really nice like maple hoops.
Okay.
For the bass drum, so it adds like to the density of like the head contact, and then I put die-cast hoops on all of the toms.
Okay.
So it's like wow. it's basically like
modded your kit.
Yeah, it's like a Brooklyn or like it's basically like a USA custom, but mm-hmm. it's just like the wood isn't as good as if you were to buy a USA custom.
Sure.
But it's like, it's my kit, and I love it to death.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll play it everywhere. Like, I used it on, I just did, well, not just did, a couple, maybe 6-8 months ago, I did a record with Brewster. You know Brewster?
You mentioned it before. Yeah. I haven't listened.
So he's going to have a new record coming out soon, and I used that kit on that record, and it sounds fucking amazing.
I bet, man.
And I'm like,
I bet.
I love this drum set. And like you said, it's like, it's not about like it being an expensive drum set. It's just, it's about it being something that has character that you grow to learn and love. And
yeah.
it's like, it's my shit. Like, I don't give a fuck.
That's like, really what I think the takeaway should be.
That was
I
your
think.
Point, right?
Yeah. I think, so, I mean, yeah. like,
long story long.
No, but yes. this is a good example because, and you took it to another level, man. And you're probably the only person I know so many drummers who would, oh yeah, I'm going to fucking slice my, my shell. And I'm going to do the bearing edges. You even knew what that would do. Like, you understand way better than I do about how the drum makes the sound and what the head does and what, and then even when you're talking about the maple hoops to add weight to the head.
Mm, yeah.
I never even thought about that.
Because I think the Catalina stuff is what? I think it's poplar.
I think
which is a lighter wood.
This is mahogany. They say it's mahogany.
Oh, mahogany. Right? Yes. Yeah.
But
that's what it is.
Back in the day, they might have used birch, I think. And then maybe earlier they did poplar or something.
I think mine's mahogany too. I bought it like, what, 2013?
Yeah, it might be mahogany.
I think it's whatever it is.
If
they're
not
light.
Birch.
They're not heavy.
Yeah.
They're light.
Yeah.
They're light shells. And the hoops are like, that came with the kit. They were like on the bass drum. They're like loose as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
And I try to sell them to someone on, never mind. The guy showed up and like, was like, fuck you. And I was like, you asked for it, man.
I mean,
anyway,
listen, if you're listening and you think that buying something expensive, like we were talking about DW drums before, and relating them and Sonar as like elite level sort of production value of shells, drums, and hardware too. If you think that buying that stuff is just going to make you sound good, I mean, I would say,
hell no.
I would say you're actually, if that were the case, actually, I would say you would be missing such an opportunity to get good, because, and I like Mark Juliana's approach, which is like, I play what's there. He'll show up to the gig. I'll play what's there. Mm. The only thing I have is my cymbals.
Yeah.
But his thing is, even when the bass drum pedal's rickety or something like that, or the fucking hi-hat stand, something's weird. He's like, you got to learn to make that stuff sound good. It's just an opportunity to better yourself. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but...
I just brought my pedal this time because I didn't want to break yours.
Oh, dude, no. No, I don't care about that.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
No, but totally. I totally agree with you. It's like work with what you have.
Yeah.
I think cymbals, like you said, it's like it's the most personal thing.
You can't change the cymbal, but I can change the head and completely wreck the drum or make it better.
Retune it or do whatever the fuck you want. I think cymbals get overlooked as to being the most important thing on
a
drum set.
I think they are.
They're the most tonal thing. They're the most, like you're playing now, like, is this your, what you've been playing mostly?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that, what's that, a Sabian? What?
This is an Artisan Light Ride, 20-inch.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah, I like it.
Oh, that's pretty.
By the way, I'm using that
what
thing.
What the heck is that?
Yeah, so this is, I got a shout out.
You need to explain this to everyone now, because I can't see.
Cymbal Rain, oh no, what is it called? Cymbal Rains? I think it's the name of the company. They make this thing that just is, it goes, you know, you got to put your cymbal on top of the stand. This goes first. And there are these little pads, this circular thing. Those pads make contact with the bottom of the cymbal. You can adjust the actual, how much contact those pads have with the bottom of the cymbal. And this gives you your light cymbal dampening. It's great. I mean, it beats tape, because tape, you're committing. Let's be honest. When you put tape on your cymbal, that's a commitment, right? This, you could alter.
Are they paying you?
No, dude.
This is a perfect advertisement.
I shout out products all the time.
That was the most perfect advertisement I've ever heard.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm a tape guy. Like, I tape myself.
That's why I wanted to bring that up.
Because you sold me.
You might dig that.
I might, yeah.
Yeah, I like this company.
I saw these other things called SimPads.
SimPads,
yep. You heard
that? Okay, that company I've researched a little bit. Somebody explain... You know what? It might have been somebody a drummer I had on the podcast, explain what they do. And I'm a little sold. The only thing
it
is...
It kills the bell a little too much.
Not even that, right?
Okay.
I think part of making the cymbal sound good is sort of on the stand. Like all the things you can't control, like when you're on a gig, I can't control what fucking stands are there. So I just have to make do. So when am I going to bring my own... cymbal felts, like investing in cymbal felts is not a thing. I'm like, let's do this, you know.
I get you,
but However, I heard that they are good and effective.
That's why I like the tape thing, because it seems to be consistent. I don't know. I changed it, but it always changes. The symbol changes.
The symbol changes.
So
yep.
It's like you the weather changes. You adjust it for either, and like I don't know. Maybe I'm a nerd about it. The other thing that I realized too, and I've been doing this a lot, is like I used to play my shit just like this, like straight, like kind of flat-ish. Yeah. But I've realized, especially with my ride, you get a completely different sound if, say, I were to angle it like this and absolutely. On the stand and have it like kind of more angle. You know what I mean? Like that even might even like I've been kind of doing more of this thing.
Sure.
I know I'm away from the mic, but I've been kind of playing that way a little bit because I get more of. As opposed to, like, if I'm down here. Easier to get that push crash thing. And, like, kind of playing off it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be, like, this is a little drastic, but... I don't know. It's like, oh,
I like it.
I think it dries the cymbal out a little bit by putting it on that angle because it also has more like tension and movement.
Oh, yeah. Touching the felt more.
Yeah.
The felt's more. Yeah. I could see that. I think, dude, I got to tell you from, because, you know, when you're doing something, like I'm not gigging as much as I am recording. So then how I approach things completely changes. Hmm. You pick up on things. So one of the things is I'm in a small basement room here. And I have a small ceiling. So I always have to think about cymbal reflect, like just vibration reflection.
Totally,
right?
Yeah.
And I have realized that what you just said about tipping the cymbals down a little bit, angling them down, mm-hmm. it actually does affect the overhead mix and the room mix because
Okay. You're
getting less from the cymbal. It's more going this way and that way, sort of. So it is. It's very. It actually is helpful for controlling, especially that like harsh stick attack sound. So yeah, and also it's healthier for your cymbals too, let's be honest.
It probably is, right?
Have you ever cracked a cymbal?
Have I ever cracked a cymbal?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, growing up I break cymbals like crazy.
I think I broke one or two. Yeah, growing up. Yeah.
Oh, it's the saddest thing
ever. It's so sad.
I had a cymbal that the most recent one that I broke I used for like 6 years and it started cracking like off the bell.
Oh sure. Yeah.
Oh my god, I was so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you know, you think like when somebody elderly dies, you think like, okay, it makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
I decided though when it was cracking, I was like, fuck it. I'm just gonna play it out. I'm not gonna try to fix it. I'm just gonna keep smashing on you until you die, baby.
That might be the way to go.
You live a good life, you know what I mean? It's like kind of like this thing. It's like instead of trying to like make it grow up too fast, but, I'm like, let you do your thing.
But a cymbal, if a cymbal cracks, kind of like it had a long life to live.
Yeah, fair enough. I did have it for a very long time. Okay. So I have to say this. I've been thinking about this. So much.
Yeah, Tom wanted to come on, guys. He hit me up. He's like, dude, I'm fired up. I got stuff to talk about.
It's this one thing. And I think I've been thinking about it since the day after we did our last podcast.
Okay.
I said, Elvin was known for having bad technique.
Like, you're talking about, now, were you talking hand technique? Like, yeah. Stick technique? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I thought about that endlessly. Fuck, why did I say that? Because what is technique, really?
Yeah.
I don't think he had bad technique, actually. I think maybe someone told me that, and I put that in my mind. I don't know where that came from, because technique isn't anything. He was... And I just... It's almost like I feel like I need to do him a solid.
Sure.
From the grave. He's my favorite drummer ever.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think he had bad technique. I think he just had his own way of playing that made him sound the way that he sounds.
Mm-hmm. That's it, right?
So there's nothing negative there, and I just want to clear that up.
No, of course. Of course. First of all...
I just want to clear out he's my favorite drummer in the whole entire world.
If I remember correctly, though, you were... you know, you were talking about him in admiration and nothing but.
Oh, yeah. But I think I said, it's like, well, he was known for bad technique.
And,
like,
and by the way, that could be interpreted. The way I interpreted that, by the way, is, you know, first of all, like, this drum world is still young. But we have these, like, fundamental things like molar technique and how, you know, where should your thumb go? Oh, is, should your first finger be wrapped around the stick or hanging off the side? Is the fulcrum between the middle? All this shit, right? You know, he just didn't follow that stuff. That's how I interpreted it. He did his, he literally ignored what, quote, like, universally good technique is.
He's such a favorite drummer of mine that I haven't even like really like gone into like trying to figure out what he did other than like looking at it and being like, I don't know what that is exactly, but it's not anything I've ever been taught.
I mean, that's one of those drummers, man. You gotta have a knowledge get him.
Like I did say also, it was interesting. It's like he was a big guy, like he was tall and he used very small drumsticks.
He
played 7A's.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and he was like 6 something.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, I'm 5'10". I usually use 5B's.
Yep.
That's like, this is like triple the size of that stick.
Yep. Do you know what I like about Do you know what I like about Elvin's sound? And I think even though they're like almost completely different, him and Tony. But
oh yeah, they're like
polar
opposites.
Wild. It's wild how different they are, right?
Yeah,
and still greats.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But one thing they do have in common is, so like, you know, jazz, the swing, the pattern. You know, that could easily sound cheesy. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
It can easily sound like a musical, music to a musical.
Yeah.
You know, like. Like it's in character, right? Versus expressing something serious. And I think when I think of Elvin and I think of Tony, I think those guys were able, at least for me in my ears, I was able to identify like, no, there is an expression behind that ride cymbal. You know?
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, there's
a serious.
Did I tell
you that story last time? Did I already say that story?
Which one
with
was
the Tony ride cymbal?
I don't know, but you could tell again.
With the friend, like it was like one of my teacher's friends. This is the coolest fucking story ever. I don't know if I'm going to say it for a second time. Oh my
god, that's okay if you do. That's fine.
Repeat it. I forget who the fuck. I think it might have been Ian Froman. It was either him. Or I forget who it was. Someone I studied with. No, it, whatever. Their friend, right, was obsessed with Tony's ride cymbal.
Okay.
And they drove all over the U.S. and Canada just for vacations.
Sure.
To try to find a cymbal that sound like Tony's.
Okay.
Couldn't find it.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't sound like Tony Williams' ride cymbal. Like,
yeah.
I can't find it. The fuck?
Yep.
I think it was Peter Retzlaff told me this story. I think it was his friend, because he's from Ohio. He goes, and then my friend gets back from, he's an amazing teacher, if you know Peter.
No, Retzlaff, I don't, actually.
He's from the Drummers Collective. I studied with him so much, he's amazing. Check him out. He's the shit.
Okay, shout out to Peter.
Yeah, anyway, he goes, the guy tells me that he gets a gig back in Ohio, and Miles was playing. He's opening
shit
for him, and Tony's there.
Oh, shit.
So he goes to Tony, hey, man, like, you could use my kit for the night. And he goes, oh, thanks, man. I appreciate that. Do you want to use my cymbals?
Fuck yeah.
And he's like, Jesus fucking Christ, what the fuck? I've been trying to find your ride cymbal, and now I get to use it to open for you? Holy shit. Because I play the ride, and it sounded like ass. It's the worst sounding fucking cymbal I've ever heard in my entire life. And then Tony gets up, and it sounds like Tony's cymbal.
Isn't that wild?
And he's like, what the fuck?
Isn't that wild? And there you go.
It's his hand, man.
It's his hand. It's his soul. It's his life experience. All of that.
Yeah.
I really believe that's why Steve Jordan is identifiable.
Oh, yeah.
And you got to think, Steve Jordan, like, he's or a cat.
Charlie Watts.
Oh, yes, rest in peace.
All these guys, man. You can hear.
I would say it. Steve Jordan, though, like, I want to use him as an example of, like, he's identifiable, right? Mm. But he also is a chameleon in the sense of he's on shit you don't know he's
That's
on, too.
That's what's so cool about
so
him.
So there's a switch that these guys can turn on and off. Like, they can completely serve the song and vanish.
Total master.
Right? And then just be the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then sometimes they can be themselves on the drums. It's wild, dude.
Would you say you lean more towards how Tony plays or more towards how Elvin plays?
I think I'm a little bit more...
What camp are you in?
I think I'm more...
In your soul.
So this is going to sound weird. It's going to sound weird because everybody interprets music differently. And when I think of Elvin, I think way loose and I think of a lot of risk taking.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah. When I think of Tony, I think way more... and I'm going to say disciplined in the sense of almost like a martial art. Like, there is a form to everything. Mm. There's a consistency, right? So I think I lean more towards Tony because the fear of taking a risk and then fucking up the pattern to me is scary. So I play it more safe. But that doesn't mean that Tony never took risks. The first thing that I hear about Elvin is how badass that dude is as far as risk-taking. You know what I mean? Like,
what's so crazy
I love
is, like,
that.
They both did it in different ways. And here's the weird part. This is the weird part, is when we listen to a musician, drummer, artist, whatever, even looking at, like, a painting, right? It could be that. The way we interpret it shows us who we are a little bit.
Sure.
Right? Because, like, if I were to, like, I keep having, like, once you brought up Tony and Elvin, I keep thinking of the song Resolution. You know the song?
No, I don't.
It's off of Love Supreme. I think it's the second track on Love Supreme.
Okay.
It's one of my favorite records ever. And it's, is that my phone?
Oh, that's okay, man.
Jeez. Stupid phone. Shush.
That's okay.
it's a Bumble update. Oh shit! It's a da 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 something like that, right?
Gotcha.
And I think Elvin probably plays it like somewhere around. When I play drums to it, I play totally different. It's like way more intense because it's just like how I'm interpreting it. You know, like
you want to give an example?
Oh, okay, sure.
Yeah,
the way I feel it is, it's a lot more aggressive.
Go ahead.
That's my Elvin impression.
Yeah,
but I don't know. It's like, is he playing that way? I feel like a lot of times I'm more over the top from where maybe he actually was.
Gotcha.
I don't know.
I think that's a thing, man. I think drummers have that thing. I think some of us are more aggressive and some of us are a little bit more tame. I'll use the word tame.
Okay.
I think that's you, and you tend to be more like you're louder than me. Normal, your normal hit is much louder than my normal hit, right? But there's a hell of a lot of character to when you play immediately. To me, I feel like I almost like hide the character a little bit just to be maybe dynamically perfect to the room or something like that. So that's why I say, there's like. And by the way, my approach comes from like a classical background, like classical percussion.
Saying that last time.
So it's like I'm always trying to blend. I'm actually always trying to be the percussion or the drums versus Anthony on drums. You know what I mean?
Interesting. And
that sometimes I think
maybe I'm too egotistical.
No, but that
I just come in. I'm just like, I'm gonna play the damn drums, and that, they're loud. So check it out.
I think that there's. I think that there's. But I think that there's less. See, right? Like I'm plagued with thought in a sense that I even have to think that. Right?
You know what's?
You just sit down and play.
What's funny is when I play drums, it's the one time where I'm not plagued with thought.
And that's good. That I'm saying that's a great thing.
It's like it's the one time where I don't have my mind running like a fucking psychopath, and I could just sit down and get into it, and I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah.
Everything disappears. It's the one time the thought leaves my mind.
That's
and I'm in that
ideal.
Like you said last time, like that flow state. Like just getting into it.
That's technically, man, that's ideal. Like you're more likely to take risks, but the risks are because you just have an inspiration in the moment. You're not holding back that inspiration or that motivation in that moment. You're taking that, seizing that moment. You're more likely to expand your expression ability. I think expression ability and vocabulary, like rhythmic vocabulary, are a little different. I think rhythmic vocabulary might help your ability to express. But expression is its own thing. And I think some drummers have a hard time expressing. Like, because executing a pattern is different than expressing the pattern, like in a certain emotional way. And you clearly go right towards expression. I fucking am a little envious of that because I hold myself back a little bit because I want to execute it. But here's the thing. I also have to remember, like in thinking about this, by the way, this is why it's important to watch other drummers and watch other musicians, but I have to remind myself, like, I only have my ear in the way that I hear things. Like, I might be the only one hearing it this particular way and hearing myself this particular way. So that means that the audience is not invested in the way I'm hearing it. They just want an experience, right? Mm. And you're giving them an experience right off the bat because you're straight to expression. And I think that that ultimately is better for an audience.
Huh.
Versus, look, I said it before, I'm mostly recording in this basement. I'm not out performing. So my number one, I guess, my number one motivation is to get the take, is to execute, you know, get the take, just get it to sound good, and then we'll mix it. Versus somebody who performs, like you perform in the last year, I bet you've performed way more than I did. And I think that whatever is required in performance, you have that.
But what's the difference between that and recording? You're still performing.
I'm also running the session.
Yeah, and I mean, I've recorded stuff like, myself. That's what's hard about recording yourself.
Yes.
It's really difficult. Like, I think we talked last time.
We talked about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's so hard to do.
It's hard.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is the hardest thing to do.
And, like, the other thing is you got to think, when you're in the take and you're in the middle of it, you're playing to the click, sometimes you only have your ability that day.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right, I got to get this good take here. Let me not take any too many liberties here with fills or whatever. Let me just keep it simple, just to get the take.
Well, sometimes it's nice to just, I mean, also at the same time, though, it's like it's not even about taking liberties. It's like I just am enjoying the shit out of playing this groove.
I know.
And hitting the cymbal one time, and it sounds perfect at that one spot. Like, hell yeah, dude.
This is the interpretation thing. You are way more of an Animal the Muppet to me. You know what I mean? And I've always wanted to be more like Animal the Muppet.
Like more Keith Moon stuff or
the energy.
Oh, interesting.
You play with an energy that I've always wanted to contribute to playing with a certain, like a Dave Grohl energy. Do you know what I mean?
You're complimenting the tits out of me right now.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't understand why. I feel like, and then even when I watch myself play, maybe like a video or something like that, it might have felt like I was giving more than what I actually look like. So
I'm not trying to look like anything. Is it the way I look? I don't know.
No. Meaning like, what I mean is, it's very clear by listening to you and watching you how much energy you're coming in with, when my instinct is to hold back. And even when I try to give more energy, it's not as much. It might be as I might be in it, and I might be giving the max amount of energy, right, that I have in that moment. So it might look, I might feel like animal in that moment, like just crazy. But then I'll watch the video back and I'll go, holy shit, I'm so tame still. Like, do you know what I mean? It would be like somebody who doesn't dance feels like that they're like a smaller movement is very big to them because they don't, they're not used to exploring space.
I don't know like how to like really answer it.
You don't have to. You're just you, is what I'm saying. I have
like a thing that it makes me think of.
Sure.
As I'm trying to understand exactly where you're coming from with that. But at least for me, I don't think about any of it. I really don't. But I've practiced to meditate a little bit.
Sure.
So that it's like, it's kind of like when, like, it's a good way to put this. You go, like, you know your favorite pizza place?
Yeah.
That you've been to? It's like a tavern.
Sure.
Or some shit. They got great decor.
Yeah.
You know, you can get, like, a pitcher of beer and get a pizza and go inside, and you've been there 100,000 times.
Yep.
You don't even need to look at the fucking menu.
Yep.
You go, yeah, I'm going to get this, that, boom, bang, da-da-da. An hour goes by like it's 15 minutes because yep. It's your favorite place and you're so comfortable.
Yep.
You don't think about who you are. You don't think about who's around you. You're just, like, in your element. You're just like, yeah, I love this place.
Yeah.
This is the best pizza ever.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that idea. When I'm behind the kit, to feel that way, to get closer to what you're talking about as best I can.
Sure.
And we all do that, right? But what's funny is we started with talking about symbols.
Yeah.
I found if my symbols aren't right in terms of the set.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get there.
And now, in the context of a performance, you're like, you're on a stage?
I could be just playing in my basement by really? Myself. Yeah. Oh,
interesting. Yeah, now I'm trying to think about that now.
And it's, I don't know what it is. It's, like, weird, right? So it's like, if everything needs to be aligned, it needs to be tonally where it is.
Okay.
It needs to be, like, a little, like, family where it's like,
oh,
it,
sure,
it makes sense, and then that helps because your movements create something that's in a flow.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think
so.
It helps
you get to exactly what you're talking about, and then you forget about what it is. You go back and you watch the shit. Who gives a shit about what you look like?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
It's like, well, I felt my thing in that moment. Yeah. You know, it's like let me hear your hi-hat and your ride separate. Sorry, I'm being like, give me some smashes on both.
Oh, on that, like,
those are so cool, by the way. Like a psh and a psh. Oh my god. Yeah. Now, can I hear those open?
Yeah.
you know.
So right there, let me just highlight that. You pretty much only played cymbals. You had a couple
bass drum stuff.
But like you were playing this ride, I guess, crash ride right in front of you here, mm-hmm. like it were a cymbal. Or like it were a drum, I mean. What I'm saying? Like, first of all, I would never attempt that because in my mind I can't make it sound good.
Why?
But you just did it, and this is why we're different. This is how we're different. Like,
stop it. Just you can do
I know.
Do whatever you want to do, man.
And that's the thing. I'm like way more thought out. Like, it's funny. I'm way more thought out in what I choose, how I choose to make music. So like, even when I'm improvising, there are still sort of walls up. You know what I mean? Like there's like a bin of stuff. Take from there, you know. But then.
Let's just play our rides together for a little bit.
Ready? Like, just like...
I don't know, anything. It doesn't need to be swing. Let's just start.
All right.
From like
you start, then.
Zero, just ride cymbal.
Okay.
That's all we got.
All right.
I have to start?
Yeah, please. Yeah,
so it's hard to do.
That is so hard to do. Even like
we had it for a second. We were vibing for a minute. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, even like
ride cymbals are my favorite.
Like, if you could go, can you do a song? Like, if I had to only play on the ride cymbal throughout a song, and
you're just talking about jazz or.
Like, let's say it was like a singer-songwriter song. Yeah, you're like, oh, duh, like a jazz. Just goes to show what music I mostly play, right? No, like if it was like a singer-songwriter thing and I had to like record. I'm always thinking recording, right?
Mm.
So if I had to start with a ride.
Okay.
And I had to like start in the verse and then go to the chorus and I'm still on the ride.
Mm.
I'm a little bit more anxious about that because, okay, well, I have to... Something, it either has to decidedly sound exactly the same from verse to chorus. And the things around are what changed the song.
Mm.
Or I have to make it different in some way, but on the same cymbal. So if I'm playing, if I start the song like, maybe something like... You know, I'm trying to think, like, what would the fucking chorus be? Do you know what I mean? I always think about, like, you have to make some little bit of change.
You know what's so great about it, though, is, like, sometimes, and because I think the same thing.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, what am I going to do for the chorus, if that's what that is? Is sometimes, like, if the verse is going to be, like...
Yeah.
What I love so much, and you, I feel like I really get the opportunity to do this. Sometimes you do, and it's the best shit ever. I'm going to go from the verse into the chorus.
Okay.
Right? So I'm going to start with the verse. I'll do four measures.
Sure.
The verse and go to the chorus. Sometimes you don't have to do shit.
And
you
that's
just
stay
there.
But that's my point. Is like, that would either be a decision.
Isn't that
and
like,
you'd know that right away. Or.
Isn't that so nice when you could do. Or.
Oh, I love that. I'd prefer that because it's actually a nice challenge. Because in some way, it's either a challenge to play the same thing but make it sound different, or play the same thing and make it sound the same. Because the music's different and you're going to hear, like, you're experiencing the music differently. But you can't change.
Sometimes you know it's what I mean? Up to the songwriter to make a song that's going to allow you to do that. Because, and I'm going to be a little controversial right now. If the song isn't good enough, you got to do more shit on the drums. If you have a fire-ass song, you could just groove all fucking day long and the song will hold its own.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
Is that a crazy thing to say?
I don't think so.
I kind of feel that way. With certain tunes, I'm just like, man, I could just sit here, just, I mean, Charlie Watts,
yeah.
Just put it up to this man, right? All fucking day long,
yeah.
And it's the shit.
Yeah.
Because those songs rock.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do anything other than just sit in the cut and have a blast.
It's true.
Laying the time.
It's true.
And growing out. Like,
sometimes,
that's what that is.
Though, sometimes the lineup of the band allows for the drummer to not have to change so much. But if you think about Nirvana.
Okay.
Like, listen to his parts. Right? Grohl's parts are like, there's a lot going on. Like Smells Like Teen Spirit alone, right? Even Drain You. It's essentially the same thing happening. There's a guitar riff and then the drum pattern. But he's hitting a crash at the top of every measure. Not one crash, two crashes.
Like, it's kind of, yeah, and you told me that last time, like, and I didn't even know that. And then
would not do that.
Recently, I mean? And I was like, oh, shit. I wouldn't, like, he is doing that.
I would never do that. Like,
same.
I would drummer never do that. I've become, but it's only because of, and it's all due
to
the situation that you find yourself in musically.
Yeah.
He's playing loud shows with fucking distorted guitars and punk rock shows. You know what I mean? Makes sense.
It's like, it's always about like a little bit of a, like, I guess it's your point, right? It's like adjusting to the situation you're in because, like, I don't know. Like, you look at AC/DC.
Yeah.
Right? Back in Black.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing.
Yep.
But to me, that's just lame as fuck. And I hate it.
But it's really good, though.
I don't think so. I think I like the guitar.
No, meaning, like, the drums sound good in the song, though.
I mean, yeah, it's a good mix.
You know what I mean?
It's like, it's, I don't, yeah, but it's like, why are you hitting the cymbal every fucking measure?
Oh, you mean, like...
Is it that song? I don't know. It's an AC/DC song where it's like,
I think,
every single fucking
measure. I think in the chorus, because it goes...
It's ridiculous.
I think it's in the chorus.
I don't know what it is, but wherever the hell
it is... But I know
what
you're talking about. I think I know what you're talking about.
That's just kind of lame to me.
Don't just do it to do it, right? Don't just do it to do it.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Don't just do it just because.
Exactly.
I understand that.
Teen Spirit, for some reason, it's just like...
It works.
Oh, hell yeah.
It works so well.
Totally. You don't even think about it.
You don't even think about it. And you
know... Maybe I'm probably just like being picky and biased because I don't know.
Here's the thing. You are the listener. You are yourself... in that moment, that's a listener. A listener, let's be honest, there are great listeners, and then there's the comment section. You know what I mean?
So I'm in the shitty comments.
So like, and we all
fuck that song, dude.
We all are sometimes in the comment section about things.
No, don't do that to me,
dude. I have my shit, dude. If you put
what's your least favorite song?
Least favorite song
that you're supposed to like.
That I'm supposed to like.
Yeah.
Interesting question. It's honestly, it's probably like a Lady Gaga song or something. Do you know what I mean? Or
no, I'm talking like classic. What's your least favorite classic band? Let's do that. Let's go with that.
I mean, shit. Was it Cheap Trick?
That answer is a cheap trick.
Like, you know, I want you to want me.
All right, so like,
I hate that song.
Let's
so,
do this.
So all right, much.
Let's pick the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, and I don't know. Let's pick some.
All right, how about like, I'm not the biggest Eagles fan.
The Eagles. Nah, you know. Fuck that. Let's pick like rock, classic rock and roll stuff. So we got the Beatles.
The Who?
We got the Who. I mean, I love the
Zeppelin.
All right, let's go the Who, Zeppelin, and...
The Beatles.
Well, let's take the Beatles
Stones.
Out now. All right, so we got...
Pink Floyd.
All right.
Steely Dan, does that count? Or more Steely Fleetwood Dan Mac or something?
No, like, they're like, those two are like a different category.
You're talking about the bands that everybody talks about that, oh, have you heard this?
Yeah, all right, so if we took Pink Floyd, The Who, and what was the other one?
The Beatles?
The Beatles, sure, the Beatles.
And the Stones, maybe.
Oh, take the Beatles out and do the Stones.
Okay.
Those four, which?
The Stones.
Are the fucking worst.
I like the Stones the least out of those.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why.
You know what's weird about it is, like, I feel like I don't like them the least now because I know too much about the other ones.
Oh, you meaning like you've tasted the other ones too much?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're just kind of tired of it.
Ooh, I've never had avocado on my cheeseburger before. Let me try that.
I got you. I have a hard time going back in time to listen to music to discover new stuff. Do you know what I mean? It's a little harder.
I kind of like it because I have like. By like choice of like picking,
sure.
Like, ooh, I have their whole fucking discography right now.
And sure,
I could
just
go through all of it and find an error that I really like.
Okay,
you know it's like ooh, I loved them in the '80s. Or
yeah, that makes. I mean,
I've been into '80s music a lot lately.
Oh man,
like XTC.
I don't even know that. No, who's that?
Oh, my God, they're so good. XTC or Crash Test Dummies.
Okay, I haven't listened to them, but I've heard of the name, yeah.
Oh my god. You could play stuff on here?
I can. It's difficult while recording.
Do you get like
Well, no, I could do that. The only issue is that getting it on the recording for people to listen to we're listening to.
Okay, so let's
That's
do this.
The only
I'm
hard.
Just going to play this groove from this.
Go ahead,
one.
Please.
It is the fucking sickest shit ever.
Do it.
It's so simple. And what's funny about it is, all right, so now we're going to get back to drums because we digressed a little bit. It's funny, and before I even play this groove, you let me know what you think about this. Do you ever listen to something and it gets you, it's kind of back to what we were saying, it gets you excited and you hear it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And you go play it, and you're like, dah, 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 and then some time goes by, and as you learn the song, you're like, oh, that's not what they were playing at all. It's actually very different.
In the past, yeah, that I've that's definitely happened in the past for sure.
Like, what is that?
I think sometimes you just want to access how it makes you feel more than what's actually happening.
That's a fucking awesome way to put it.
Yeah. I think that's, you know. And then when you become like I become over fascinated by what's actually going on, and then I want to go and actually make what's actually going on feel like how I feel. And that's it's hard to do, because essentially you're making yourself play like another drummer. It's hard to do, of course, which is why. But see, here I am, and I can't identify myself playing. I have a really hard time with that.
Who the fuck can? I mean, I think what you said is that's like a genius way of looking at it. Because like I could play right now how that groove makes me feel.
Sure.
Sure. And then I could play how I learned what he's actually playing.
Yep.
Now that I like studied it, but you know, it's like what maybe how it made me feel isn't wrong.
Not at all.
Right?
Not at all.
It's just how I might interpret, like we were talking earlier. It's like how you interpret something.
Yeah.
But sometimes what's really cool about it is once you learn how someone wrote something or played something and you can get into it and play it properly, maybe if you're going to transcribe, whatever the hell it is, how you learn it, it becomes more meditative because now it's not you.
Sure. Yeah, you're learning another way of... It even might be new vocabulary.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's exciting.
Of course.
Kind of like, it's like, oh, wow, I've never...
And then now you have to make that vocabulary sound expressive.
Yeah.
And that's even harder.
What's funny is sometimes you do it and you're like, most of the times for me, when I go learn the shit, I'm like, oh, this is actually like so much better than what I felt it should be.
I don't know. I mean, I'm harsh, man, to myself.
Same.
I'm fucking harsh, dude.
I think that's a good thing.
It sometimes is good. It serves.
I think it's always a good thing to be harsh on yourself, because then you'll get too comfortable too quickly. You always got to push yourself.
Yeah, I think
you always
got to
critique
yourself.
Otherwise, you're gonna be like, "Oh, I'm the tits." Like it's like, nah, bro. Like I'm not the tits. I'm not doing that good. I got to work on myself.
When you were talking about like you have like your family of cymbals and your setup, you know. Mm-hmm. And you feel actually you can relax and into now what you have in front of you and truly express and play. So like I have a weird thing that I've discovered is that I'm sometimes at my worst on my kit and my setup.
Oh, it's the opposite?
Because you know how I mentioned how like things are thought out, right?
Okay.
Like that, it's almost like I'm plugging into a box of I'm plugging into access to a box of material. And on this kit here, I'm only going to really dig into that material versus if I were to tune this up into a bop kit and just straight up have a bop set up and that sound, right? Uh-huh. Floor toms are higher, rack toms high, kick drum is like doom, doom, high, right? Mm-hmm. And very open, ringy sound versus a dead, controlled sound. Like I find that I play way different. The things that come out are way different.
Oh, I get that.
It's like a different drummer. Mm-hmm. So I actually like sitting down on other drum sets, even if it doesn't feel as comfortable. But like for the sounds, something will come out of me. I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? And that's kind of cool. But would I want that to be like my drum kit? Most of the time, no. But it would be like, do you want the hotel room to be your home? No. Mm. But I get to stay in a hotel when I...
Would you rather like run around naked and like rub your butt on the sheets and stuff?
I mean... I was thinking more... hang around in my underwear maybe, but...
No, you're naked in that hotel room. Get out of here. No, I get you. It's for me, I mean, I don't know. Like, it depends on the gig, really. You know what I mean? If it's like a certain like band that I'm doing, and I know the vibe, I know my like approach and what I need to do, I like to, I don't mind using like a backup kit, but I try to make it as particular as I can so that I feel comfortable enough to make sure that I could do what I've practiced so that I could perform in a comfortable space. If I'm doing something that is a situation where it's like, hey, like, let's fucking go, we're gonna play this gig tonight and we don't have any fucking tunes, maybe we'll throw some sheet music out and just fuck with it and just do whatever the hell we want. Sure, give me anything.
Yeah, at that point,
I'll fuck with that.
There's
shit.
No. Like, yeah, I know what you talked about. If because you're you playing with an artist and the sound has to be a certain way, then in that sense, I'm like you, where, okay, I gotta use these cymbals and treat the drums a certain way. If I'm sitting down and there's no rules, and I get to sit down on a kit and play. Then what I was saying before more applies. If I have to serve a gig, serve music.
Well, that's why I try to have a set. Like, that's why I even brought this shit up. And I was like, oh my God, I got a new cymbal. It's like, because I use one set of cymbals, and that's the fucking end of it. Maybe I'll change my hi-hat.
Okay.
If I'm in a recording session.
Okay.
Like that kind of thing. Maybe I'll use a different cymbal, like a crash or something, or a ride if I'm getting, if I'm in like a hired studio session.
Sure.
But I try to just play the same set.
Sure.
For everything all the time. And that's why I said like the family thing. It's like, I want to know the shit out of it. Like, this is the first time in 6 years that I'm playing a different set of cymbals.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was like weird to leave.
Yeah. You almost feel like
the shit I was
you're doing
playing.
Something wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like kind of scary, but it felt right. And I kept testing over a couple of years. Like, what if I do this or I do that? And I'm like,
Yeah, sure.
It's not working.
Yeah.
Go back to Old Faithful.
Sure.
You know? And I played that set forever.
Have you ever had, because I've had this and it's a little crushing. It's a bummer. Like when I did weddings, I had a gig for the wedding gig. I had a kit and a setup for that gig. And then I had a kit set up in my basement for my shit. So I was always like, what I'm doing and then what I have to do for that gig kind of thing. What that gig needs versus what's at home is for me. Mm-hmm. So, but don't get me wrong. It's not like I gave the gig hand-me-downs. It was quality gear and cymbals and drums.
Yeah, for sure.
Shit,
but it was the right thing.
For that gig, right?
That's something I've learned, like using this type of thing. I've always played 20s.
Oh, yeah, big cymbals, right?
Using, like, a small crash, I'm like, oh, this shit works
That's
great.
A beautiful crash, too.
It works
That's
so nice
That's a beautiful crash.
It goes, psst. Pisces the tits. I really love their stuff.
Oh, I like that cymbal, because at the place I work, they have that exact cymbal. It's maybe in a 17.
The traditional series.
Really nice. I love it.
Awesome stuff, right?
Really nice.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And like mellow. I like how mellow it is.
Yeah.
You can lay into it. I have a cymbal in my bag there. It's a great cymbal. It's a HHX Omni by Sabian.
Oh, okay.
22.
Nice.
I love it. You know, like, I love it, but I've played it on that gig so much, you know, and I remember, like, hating it because it was like, oh, that's for that fucking gig. And I don't like that gig anymore. Like, it was a thing. This is a job. So it's to your job and using the computer that's there. You hate that thing. Do you know, after a while, because you're working. You're not enjoying. It's just a tool. So that's what I hated about
it. Really? Yeah, you should never feel that way about it.
Which is why I don't do that gig anymore.
All right, so I have a game. You want to play a game?
Yes.
All right, so let's both play. I have one already for myself. It's that one song that I was saying before. Let's both play individually a song that how we interpreted it.
Sure.
And how we thought it should be played.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how you showed me on the first podcast that Dave Grohl hit both cymbals. And I didn't know that shit. I'm like, fuck, really? For real? Right? So one that if you can remember, is how you interpreted the song.
Sure.
And then how you learned the song. and go, oh shit, they're actually playing this.
Okay.
After you got over the excitement of how cool the song was.
Sure.
Do you have one?
I think I'm narrowing down.
I think we could say what the song is too. It doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, of course. You want to go first?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, yeah. I'm still narrowing down what I'm going to do. Okay,
so what the hell is the name of the song? It's XTC. I'm going to look at my phone. I'm going to cheat.
Go ahead, yeah.
I'm going to cheat a little bit. Uh-oh, my phone's, like, making noise.
That's okay.
It's off of this record called... Oh, it's called My Bird Performs.
Okay.
Oh, my God. The song is the best fucking thing ever. Check this shit out. Oh, my God, it's so good.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, it's so good.
Are there brushes?
I don't know. It could be buzzing. So I heard this fucking song, and I'm like, woo, let me go, baby. And I go...
Type of thing. Sure.
It's fucking, it's not that at all. It's kick, it's four on the floor.
I love that.
But for some reason, I was like, I'm like complicating the fucking shit out of it. It's just this. You know, it's like, why did I put all this other shit in my head?
I think you just, it didn't feel like you can make it feel real the other way. So you just went
because
with
of like the way the drums were tuned, or
I think you interpreted it and then were able to replicate whatever you replicate, or how about this, you interpreted it, put it into a pattern, played the pattern, and just felt good with that pattern and walked away.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then your ear developed, or not, but maybe one day either your ear developed or you just decided to listen closer and then picked up on something. And then you realize, oh, shit, I'm playing this wrong. Because I've done this. I think I did that with, like, 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover, probably.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Like things like
shit.
That.
Oh, shit, so that's your song.
Ah, man, I can't play it that well.
Come on.
I haven't played it in so long. So that,
right,
that's...
what's your one? What's that one that's like a... What's it? That's a parody.
It's like...
thing.
I think it's... Apparently,
he plays it open hand, right?
Apparently, it's like... like he's doing the open hi-hat thing. Like, like this, like
Isn't it a paradiddle?
He's doing that shit.
Oh, shit. God damn it.
Yeah,
fuck you, Steve Gadd.
it ain't simple.
I forget it. I remember
it was already
learning
hard.
That shit in school.
It was already hard,
like,
you know?
God damn,
and then you're like, oh,
tough.
Shit. I would say, let's see.
All right, what's your song? Yeah. I just said on podcast, fuck you, Steve Gadd. But that's only because he's the best ever.
We love it. It's a fuck you out of love.
Oh, yeah. So what's your song? Wait, what?
Oh, it's, yeah. It's
you have snares on your flute? What?
I love it.
Yo. You should just keep doing that. That's amazing.
All right. Here's a perfect one.
All right.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's play the game.
By the Way by the Chili Peppers. Like, oh. I always thought it was like...
I'm going to learn something right now, maybe.
I always thought it was...
oh, shit. Yeah,
you know, something like that,
this.
Right?
I don't know
like,
this.
Like paradiddle tap thing, like...
Okay.
And then I listened to it, of course, because I had to teach it, actually. Mm. So first, he's doing this. Maniac.
He's always, right? Like, on the back of the foot.
Always.
He's doing that. Yeah. We talked about this last time.
Which is amazing. I love it. Right.
Yeah. And then,
but the pattern is actually it's
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
simple.
It feels better.
The kick and the play between the kick and the floor tom is what makes it feel like more than it is. It's just.
Shit. Fuck you. Get the fuck out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's genius. It's genius. Because I notice how this, by the way.
Chad's the fucking best. Right? I love him.
All right, I should say. Right there. Oh, this note here. I always heard the floor tom was on it, too. I was like, how's he doing that? And it's because. He always.
So, yo, I have, like, the same one, too. You know, take, what's it called? Take Me Home by Phil Collins?
How's that?
Take me home.
No, I don't know that, actually.
Take me. It's like a tom thing and like the snare, right? Growing up, I would always play to this record. Like I still play to this record, right? But it's like but there's a drum machine.
Okay.
So I would always go. Sorry, I'm gonna get this microphone out of the way so I can actually.
Good idea.
So it's like I would always play it this way. Because I was trying to fill out the drum machine.
Sure.
But it's actually this. It's like there's this space in there, and it's like I always was trying to fill in the drum machine, but I got older, I listened to it, and I was like, oh, when the drums kick in, I didn't even realize the first minute and a half of the song is just a drum machine. It's not even the kit.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it's that reminds me of this.
Gnarliest groove ever. It's the best groove.
When you played it to it, the first thing I thought was, oh, this is in your, I feel your control.
Yeah.
And because you're controlled... I felt like, oh man, I could dance to that or I can groove to that. And that reminds me of like taking timpani lessons, man.
Oh, really?
Because timpani, you can get really into the character of when, like, you're playing a Beethoven piece or something like that, and you're playing these boom, 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 boom. And like, as the fucking orchestra's, I mean, it gets rock and roll, dude, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, I remember being in the lesson, I remember playing to a recording for my teacher. Shout out to Mike Lipsy. And I'm like, just like animated about it, right? And he goes, I see that you're into it. And I like that. But he's like, the sounds that you're making are not great because of your animation. You're too energetic.
Fuck you, man. I'm playing right? hard
and that's
and
the
fast.
Thing. I would say you don't have
These are my sounds, son.
I would say as a drum set player that this doesn't apply as much. I think it's more.
Yeah, timpani is such a fickle instrument.
I think there are moments on drum kit that does apply, but for this, I think because basically he was like keep that inside and control your strokes because it's not for you to enjoy per se and rock out to. It's for the audience. It's for the recording or for the rest of the orchestra.
Holy shit.
And he's like, yeah, you have to like contain yourself in a sense. This is really about control. And then what I thought of when you were playing, I was like, whether or not you were, and I'm not saying you were not enjoying it as much or having less fun. I'm not saying that.
I was having more fun.
You're probably having more fun.
I play what it actually is because that space is like.
But in the moment, right? In the moment, like when you learn that you have to hold back. At first, you can probably go, oh, man, shit, it's not as fun, right? But it's more controlled, and then you eventually learn, like, oh, this sounds It sounds alive.
I noticed a difference, you know, actually, just in watching you.
What's that? And
when I played those two examples, the second one, you started getting into it.
Oh, dude, yeah. I mean,
yeah, sound is not my groove. And you didn't get into my version of it at all. But when I played the real one, you're like, that's actually awesome.
Fucking killing, man.
And
it was
that's why I love Phil Collins so much.
Yeah.
He was a master of exactly what you're talking about right now, is finding that, I don't know, what do we call that? Like, nuance, I guess? Like you're saying, like expertise and nuance, because you're saying, right? It's like finding that place where you're playing a certain way, where you're putting space, you have the education to do it, you have the reserve.
Reserve and control. And control to
create something that turns into like a meditative state.
It's a contribution. You're contributing to something that's beyond your experience.
And here's the thing that I love so much, and I've been chasing this my whole life, especially as drummers, right?
Yeah.
To be able to contribute.
Yeah, yeah.
To music, but still do something that's exciting on the drums.
Yes.
And I think someone like Phil Collins.
Yes.
Is a master of
master. That. Steve Gadd. As well.
Steve Gadd as well, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, these are the guys. Vinnie Colaiuta.
Yeah.
Do you know this song, you know 10 Summoner's Tales?
I don't.
By Sting?
No, I don't.
Oh, my fucking God. All right, am I like, digressing?
No.
This is the stupidest shit I've ever heard, and I've been
Stupid in a great way, right?
Oh, yeah. And I'm obsessing over it. It's in 7.
It's in 7, okay.
Oh, my God. We're going so long.
No, I don't care.
How long are we in?
No, I'm looking at the waves. I'm just making sure that my voice, your voice, is making waves.
And I'm not screaming at you too much.
No, you're good.
Dude, Love is Stronger Than Justice on 10 Summoner's Tales.
Okay.
By Sting.
Yeah.
In 7.
Yeah. You have it?
Fuck up. Can I play it? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Check this shit out. You're going to shit your pants. Oh, wait. I hit the mic because I started doing this. This song made me start to, like, obsess over playing traditional. Because Vinny's such a bad motherfucker. Check this out. All right, I'm going to go again.
Wow, that's fucking cool.
This is the story of 7 brothers. We had the same father but different mothers. We keep together like a family should, roaming the country for the common good. It came to pass one fateful day, we found ourselves down Mexico way down.
That's right, awesome.
Take that intro one more time. Double time.
Yep. That's like a sense.
What the fuck, bro?
That is a style modulation.
How do you
right?
even fucking like,
it,
like?
And you know what's wild?
Fuck?
It's the same guitar. Nothing changed.
I know. It's just him.
But it was like a different style of music, right?
I know.
For a measure. For 7 counts.
Yeah, it makes me so mad. It's like, you asshole. How do you even come up with that shit?
I know. I think. I love.
I played that song like 100,000 times after I heard that shit,
dude. I think
so good.
I'm trying to think of like Radiohead has some examples of stuff like that where they'll like sort of flip the like this one tune called Lotus Flower. The beat starts like this.
I think I know the song. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Right, and at a certain point in the song. It's like the bridge or something. So it'll go from this to this. And the interesting thing is, when you listen to it, they just moved the beat over, or the pattern over, back an eighth note.
Yeah, it's just one eighth note change.
That's it. It's the same thing, but And it, by the way, you would like, they are different feels versus.
Yeah,
but the way the drummer plays,
so sneaky.
The way the drummer plays,
two drummers on that song, I think
they do.
Right,
two. The way the drummers play it, like
I don't know their names.
Phil Selway and what's the guy's name? Clyde something, I think.
It's not Clyde Stubblefield, is it?
Not Clyde Stubblefield. It's Clive. I think it's Clive.
Clive
actually.
Something. Yeah.
Which two more songs I thought of? I interpreted wrong. Fool in the Rain was the first one.
Oh, shit. All right.
So
okay.
I think I first interpreted it like... Right.
Okay.
But, and I got a shout out for this.
Isn't the hi-hat on the downbeat?
No, it's... I'm going to show you, actually. It's interesting. Shout out to Pete Abazia for showing me this. Okay. So he never breaks... So he's just opening it.
And it happens
to be catching that note. So subtle things like that. And
what
then,
was the other
you know,
one?
Clyde Stubblefield's Funky Drummer.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's a tough
dude,
one.
Dude, this one is tough, man. I'm still working on, like, I'm always working on Funky Drummer.
Son of a B. Let's see if we can't figure it out.
Always.
You teach me
on.
And let's play it together.
Awesome.
I'm going to crank this up.
Yeah, crank it.
Because
yeah.
if it's Funky Drummer, we got to get tight.
Dude, that, as somebody who is a drummer but also, like, mixes drums and likes to, like, produce drums, it blows me, that blows me away, that track. Because I don't know how he plays it so well, and I don't know how they got the drums to sound so good. I don't know how they mic'd it.
They probably have two microphones on the kit.
That's the thing. Right? Like, I don't...
I would pay money that they only had two mics on that.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, how... Because back then, right, you're talking about the 70s, the early 70s, late 60s.
Shit's going to tape.
Going
and they're using ribbon microphones. Today costs $3,000 for one mic. Right?
That's right.
Let's see if I can catch up. I'm a little open. I'll put my snare here. Snare.
So here's what I thought it was. I thought it was.
This is a perfect way to ride out. So you thought it was what?
I thought it was something like.
Isn't it?
Something like.
Pickup though.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly, right? So it's actually.
Yeah, all right. Let's vibe on it.
Yeah. You know what's interesting
is sick groove, dude.
I mean, dude, and I'm gonna like you could do a dissertation on that groove, like honestly, because the level of subtlety. And I noticed something like if you listen to that song, and here, check this out. When you have like I had like another hi-hat here, and I could demonstrate a little easier. But if you could just, can you just do this? Can you go?
What's up?
Yeah, just go like this. This beat, it's not the opening that's important. It's the close. So technically, like, and like, the rule is in sort of the rule, but like, like the a stronger sound is going to win, right?
Okay.
So if the first note is that, well, kick wins. But the next note is this by itself, so you'll hear that. The next is that. Well, snare is going to win. So if you think about what is going to, if you play a beat by what's the mic's going to hear more. So then instead of, you're going to have,
oh shit. Okay.
So which is,
oh, that sounds so good.
So like, so it's the close, the snap of the close is what I think makes it feel so funky.
You know what's like so weird though? It's like, and I guess this is just going back to the whole thing. It's like learning how to play other people's shit makes you feel good.
Yep.
But finding how to play other people's shit that makes you feel good once you know how to play.
Yeah, it's like
bear shit.
It's like learning. It's like instead of learning
does
a recipe.
Make any sense?
It's like cooking. It's like learning instead of learning the recipe and only following the recipe. You use the recipe to learn how to cook.
Like okay, so play. Could you play the groove for me one more time?
Sure.
And then I'm gonna play my interpretation of what it's supposed to be.
Sure.
And then I'm gonna play my interpretation of how I would like to play it.
Sure. Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you tell me. If it sucks.
All right.
Okay, all right.
No, I'm kidding.
Let me hear.
I'm not even going to try to play that.
It's so hard.
That's so good. But when I hear that, it's kind of like we said before, right? Or I said before, maybe it's like the way you interpret something.
Yeah.
And your personality, like if I were to play to that, say like I'm home, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I got out of work or whatever the hell. I put my in-ears in. I click my phone in. Set up at the kit. I'm going to goof around for a couple hours mm-hmm. and just, like, play and have fun.
Yeah.
I would never play that groove that way by myself.
Okay. Well, what would you play?
You know, is that weird? Like,
no, I mean, I don't let myself just, like, if I'm going to play a song, I'm going to play the part. Like, but that's how harsh I am to myself. Like, so, like, what winds up happening, unfortunately, though, because of that... I wind up playing and looking for songs.
Because you're playing it perfectly.
That
right
have
now.
That challenge. Yeah,
you're
so like,
playing it perfectly.
Like Thriller. Yeah. Like, want to be starting something. Like, that's all drum machine. But I was like, I got to learn that.
Yeah, you're so good at that shit. I'm not good at that stuff at all. Oh my
but
God.
I love that so much. It's almost like. I don't know, man. It's like, if you asked me to just be me, I would have to be like, well, like on a song. If somebody said, I want you to drum on my song. And if they were just like, if I was, I'm always going to go, what are you looking for? And if they just go, just be you on the song. If they said, just be you on the song, I would find that hard. As
I get
opposed
so
to,
much trouble when people say that I can do that. I destroy their song. I make their song so bad.
Really?
They're like, oh, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And I'm like, for real?
For real, bro?
All right. I got it, son. And then they're like, No. You got to dial it back. Dial it back. I'm like, ah, shit.
But see,
you're right.
It's easier. It would be, because I wouldn't know what to do. So it's easier for me to like, what's your reference? Like, what are you, like, can I just play to the song then? Let me just, I'll give you what the song I think is the song's telling me to play.
I try to do that and as much as I can. Yeah, I mean, I love that, you know?
That's kind of what I'm saying is, like, I'd love to just sit down and just be Anthony on the drums, but it's hard. I don't necessarily know
how
to do that.
I'm the other way around. Like, I'm the complete opposite. It's like, it's hard for me sometimes to, like, be something that isn't something that I'm just hearing.
Sure.
I, like, divorce myself from that. All right, so let's do it again. You play that groove. So you can remind me of it.
Yeah, I do want to hear.
And I'll tell you, I'll play how I hear it.
Sure.
Isn't that weird? What the fuck?
No, it's not weird. It makes sense to me.
Because, like, it sounds so good when you do it, but I hear it differently. And I don't maybe it's just because I can't play it that way. I don't know. Yeah.
No, I think there's a subtler reason. And, well, I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Let's see.
It. Yeah, it's so good. I hear it's like it's weird how you hear something different.
Yeah, I'm super curious.
I'm hearing it this way, always, and I've always done this with this song. But I know, I don't know, whatever. I'm gonna shut the fuck up.